Anand Singh, I think what you have asked, do you incorporate devotion in Jnana Marga? According to me, there is no greater devotion than devotion on the Jnana path. Because if you accept that everything is God's will, if you accept people the way God has made them, if you accept that everyone is an instrument of the divine, whether you like them or not, what greater devotion can there be than that? This devotion of jnana incinerates and burns up the thinking mind of the ego with its sense of doership. It is the cremation of the thinking mind. And you burn like a still fire. Not a flickering flame, which gets disturbed with the slightest wind. Stillness becomes your nature. Be still and know that I am God. That is the flame of jnana. How does one get clear about one's soul and soul priority in this life? Rameshji had answered this question where he said the purpose of life is the living of it. Not some fantasy, not some point in the future. But living with a clear mind in the moment. what Maharaj referred to as conscious presence. A vacant mind, not a dead mind. A vacant mind open to whatever the next moment brings, sometimes pleasure, sometimes pain. Knowing that to be the flow of life. So this becomes the soul purpose. This is the spiritual path. Accept what happens as God will, that the results are not in your control. No blame, no hatred, no jealousy, no envy, no malice, no pride, no arrogance, no guilt, no shame. To accept that no one truly does anything. It is in times like this that the spiritual life, spiritual grounding comes to our assistance. Or as Rameshji would say, the purpose of life is to let life flow. Anand, if you are, as Anand says, I follow the jnana path, but when I read about Ramakrishna and his devotion to Mother Goddess, I feel I should crave for God. I appreciate your view on this. If you feel you should crave for God, go ahead and crave for God, but do not force yourself, because that would mean doership. If it arises naturally, go ahead. Simple. Stillness of mind and deep sleep, are these two states similar? I love questions on deep sleep. because they show that people are investigating this deeper. The answer is they are similar to an extent and they are not. Because in deep sleep, there is impersonal consciousness. In the waking state, is identified consciousness. It's like a coin having two sides. Consciousness is the coin. In the waking and dream states, it is identified consciousness. In the sleep state, it is impersonal consciousness. Unless with the stillness of mind one goes into samadhi, then again it is not identified consciousness. But the stillness of mind clearly refers to the stillness of the thinking mind. And this whole teaching is about eradicating the mischief of the thinking mind, which goes into the dead past or the imaginary future. So in that sense, they are different. But as Ramana Maharshi said, deep sleep is your natural state. And what he was pointing to was stillness of mind in the waking state. So that's absolutely correct. In that sense, they are similar. Thank you for that question. Opposites are experienced as one here lately. Instead of war, I see a beautiful dance with no enemies. Any comments about this? That is a beautiful state to be in because it shows that one is no longer swayed by the polaric opposites of duality. So it's not really that they are seen as one, but it is that this gap between the two polaric opposites collapses. It does not mean that they are seen as one. Because, for example, pleasure is seen as pleasure and pain is seen as pain, but without a reference. Why? Because you know that you have no control over what the next moment brings. Certainly, at the level of daily living, I would prefer a moment of pleasure than a moment of pain. But when the moment of pain comes, and I do not fight it, reject it, hate it, that means this polaric distance has collapsed between these two ends. And certainly, in that state, there are no enemies. If all there is consciousness, and this is truly apperceived, where is the question of enemies? So if that is the state one is in, that is a good sign of, you could call, spiritual progress. Thank you, Ram. That is why they say that sages do not get swayed like ordinary people, swayed between these polaric opposites, love and hate, ugly and beautiful, good and bad, right and wrong. Which happens when there is a total acceptance that life is duality. That is the design of life, is the other. Me versus the other is when the doership has got overlaid on the duality and life becomes a struggle. Due to my past trauma and addictions, it is no surprise to me that we have no free will. I find myself in a reckless abandon, a free fall. This does itself, doesn't it? Whatever it is, I don't know. You see, this is a very tricky situation because it does not mean that the total acceptance that everything is God's will and we have no free will does not mean that it leads to reckless abandon. That sense of doership now wants to do things recklessly because it has an understanding that there is no such thing as free will. This is the mischief the ego creates. It comes in through the back door. Acceptance that there is no free will does not translate into being reckless because there is no free will. Because recklessness can also be based on doership. And let us not forget that we live in a society which has its rules and regulations. And there are consequences if we don't abide by them. And more so for ourselves, for our own life, body, any form of recklessness would be detrimental to it. And then the usual argument which comes up is, oh, even recklessness is God's will. The point is, are you doing things to be reckless? So one needs to watch the ego and how it keeps reasserting its existence by certain acts, patterns, and behaviors. There are many questions which are coming up on the feed which are already addressed in previous talks and in my books, so I would not really want to get into them. spiritual progress, if there's a measure for it, the only measure is by the degree of peace you feel in the moment. Especially when circumstances are not conducive, are not in favor. You may still be in pain. But there will still be peace. The peace that passeth understanding. Anandita, certainly coronavirus is God's will. You have asked, is coronavirus also God's will? There is nothing which is not God's will. And when we say God, we refer to God as consciousness, as the source, the one unicity. There cannot be anything outside that. As only the Irish can tell a story. Barry had long heard the stories of an amazing family tradition. It seems that his father, grandfather, and great-grandfather had all been able to walk on water on their 18th birthday. So on that special day, they'd each walked across the lake to the pub on the far side for their first legal drink. So when Barry's 18th birthday came around, he and his pal Slick took a boat out to the middle of the lake. Barry stepped out of the boat and nearly drowned. Slick just managed to pull him back to safety. Furious and confused, Barry went to see his grandmother. "Grandma," he asked, "'tis me 18th birthday, so why can't I walk across the lake like my father, his father, and his father before him?" Granny looked deeply into Barry's troubled eyes and said, "Because your father, your grandfather, and your great-grandfather were all born in December when the lake is frozen, and you were born in August." So much for the logic of the thinking mind. Thank you. Isn't the term will indicate force? Yes, will is force. Absolutely. The page, absolutely right. If the design of life is duality, can we call it an illusion? If so, then is it really possible to achieve stillness of mind in the world of illusion? Yes, of course, the design of life is duality, and yes, it is an illusion. After all, it's not there all the time. Even in your deep sleep, it is not there. Is it really possible to achieve stillness of mind in the world of illusion? Of course, it is possible. When one accepts that this is a world of illusion, and also that we are part of the illusion, that is when stillness of mind can happen. Most of us view the illusion as separate from us. When the ego, with its sense of doership, is annihilated, that is the end. Of not only the illusion, but the one who views the illusion as the illusion. Both go out of the window. You with your questions disappear in deep sleep. Isn't that an illusion itself? All your questions arise in the waking state. All your pleasures and pains come and go. That's your life's experience. Nothing is permanent. You yourself will come and go. Everything is transient. Everything is temporary. Everything is moving. That is the illusion. Who knows this? Who knows that everything is transient, everything is illusory, everything is moving, nothing is permanent. This too shall pass. Who knows this? Will that person please stand up? Rajiv, your question, who is present in deep dreamless sleep? The one who is asking the question is not present. Consciousness is present, else you would be a dead body. Mahesh, you mentioned that if I say whatever has happened is God's will, then many of the people